And in chapter number 2, Brother Larry last Sunday went through chapter 1, so our lesson this morning is in chapter number 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask His blessings today as we begin our service. Lord, thank You today for Your love to us. We thank You, God, for all that You give and provide for us. Now we ask, Lord, that You would help us as we go through these verses of this chapter that You have preserved to us for our understanding and for our encouragement, and also for our warning not to do the same thing as others that have gone against You. So, Lord, we pray that You'd bless today, and thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 2. Book of Jeremiah is interesting. The prophet Jeremiah, I think Larry went over a little bit this last week. He was a prophet during the last five kings of Judah. And he began his ministry during Josiah, which Josiah was the last, what we would call a good king in the history of Judah. And you had Josiah. You had Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And those last four were very, very wicked. And the interesting thing with the kings of Judah is that the king that was serving, it was always his son that was after him. And so Josiah was a son of a very wicked king, and his grandfather was very wicked. But somehow, in the providence of the Lord, Josiah became a very good king that was interested in the welfare of Israel, and he did that which, the Bible says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he's the last of the kings of Judah that was said about them, and his reign was one that was brought joy and peace, and brought some reform to the people of Israel. But then when he goes off the scene, they revert back to their wickedness, and those sons that would be followed to follow after him certainly did not do as he had done. The early years of Jeremiah's ministry was a prophetic ministry, and it was prophesying really nothing good. It was prophesying of those results of wickedness that would come upon Israel because of what they had done. And in the mind of the prophet, his message to Judah, that they stood without excuse. He said, "You had every opportunity." And as we look into these verses this morning, you can really find a correlation between not only Judah, but also every other nation that has righteousness and has had, and then turns their back upon that. And there's so many things that are given here in these few verses of this second chapter that literally the Lord could be speaking to our nation, could be speaking to us because of the idea that we have obtained, that we are much better, that we don't need God any longer. We don't need the blessings of the Lord, and those things of days gone by are not important. And when a nation gets to that point as a whole, then God's going to bring judgment upon them sometime in the future. And that's what Jeremiah's ministry was, a ministry of prophesying the judgment and the retribution of for sin upon the people of Judah, or what we would normally call the people of Israel. Let's look in chapter 2. We'll read the first few verses and then come back and note some things. But this is the first message now that Jeremiah brings to this people. And as you read that, you think about, well, that'd be an interesting first message of a pastor in a church, because it would be a message of judgment. And as he opens up the message of the Lord, he reveals to them really how unhappy that God is with them. In verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter 2 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, and the love of thy espousals, which thou wentest after me in the wilderness, and in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come up them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, There is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and there was no man dwelt. And I brought you unto a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit." So here in these verses, the Lord, through the mouth of Jeremiah, he asked them a question about who has given you these good things other than me. And so just as Isaiah had done probably about 100 years before this, Jeremiah reminds them of their history. And history is important. History is good for us to know how things were in days gone by and in the past. And so Jeremiah reminds them of their history concerning their deliverance out of Egypt. He reminds them of the time that God helped them in the wilderness, and how that God brought them into a land that the scripture says flowed with milk and honey. It's a very prosperous land. And with the exception of a few incidences, such as making the golden calf in the wilderness, Israel followed the Lord. They were faithful to God. They had a few lapses that are given to us in the scripture, and as a result of rebellion against the Lord, but it was very, very little, and it was dealt with very handedly, and people came back to God. But now, by the time you get to the prophet Jeremiah, Judah is just about to fall. It's just going to be a few years until Judah will no longer be a nation. It won't be long until Babylon comes in and destroys Jerusalem, destroys Israel, takes away the captives, of which we have recorded to us in the book of Daniel. And so this is preceding that, and this is what takes place leading up to the judgment of the Lord upon them. Jehovah considered Judah, considered Israel as his people. He still considers Israel as his people. God's covenant relationship with Israel was in effect at that time, and by the way, it's still in effect today. Now, the covenant of the Lord does not change. He said, "You're my people forever." And because of their rebellion, though, many times that covenant is overshadowed by the judgment of the Lord. And so we find that this relationship that God had with his people was a great relationship. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. And as you read the historical accounts of the different prophets of the Old Testament, you'll find they always refer back to that deliverance out of Egypt. And that deliverance represents not only a physical deliverance, but to you and I this morning as a Christian, it represents a personal spiritual deliverance that God brought us out of the land of Egypt, brought us out of sin, brought us into the land of promise that he has given to us. And so this relationship is still in effect with the Lord. He challenged them to find evidence of his unfaithfulness. He challenged them to find any broken promises. He uses the words here, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? What have they found in wrong with God? Why have you turned your back upon the very provider of your soul? Why have you been able to go from prosperity to vanity? And so he delivers this message to Judah, and he just asks the question, and this is Jeremiah speaking. Of course, he's speaking the word of the Lord, and he says, what iniquity have your fathers found in the Lord? Where did we find anything wrong with God? I wonder this morning in America what God would ask us. Why are we doing as a nation what we're doing? Is it because God has broken his promises? Is it God has not fulfilled the things that he has promised us that he would do? Have we found faults in the Lord? Have we found iniquity in God? And all those answers would be, no, we haven't found anything. God's always perfect toward his people. God's always provided for his people, and God promises have always been fulfilled. But they have gone from the joy of that relationship with God and the fullness of the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they've gone to now, and he uses the word vanity. That word vanity comes from a Hebrew word, hevel, that just simply means worthless. Something that is vain or full of vanity, it's worthless, has no value at all. And so he asked them here, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? And they've gone far from me and have walked after vanity. And then not only when you walk after vanity, you become vain. You become just like what you follow. And so here Jeremiah says, God delivered you. God delivered Israel. God protected you. God fed you in the wilderness. God gave you a land. Why have you departed from him? Why have you rejected him? Why have you gone from the good things of life? Why have you found had the good things, and now you're living in vanity, living in worthlessness, living in emptiness? And so we find that the Lord asks the question, and he demands an answer. Why have you done what you have done? Judah, why have you turned your back upon the Lord? Is it because I've sinned against you? Is it because I haven't kept my promises? And of course, those answers would be, that's not the reason. The reason they followed their own ways is because of their rebellion against the Lord, their desire to have and to be like everybody else. And so they end up following vanity and become vain. Usually what a person follows after, they become like that. And they were following gods that were no gods. They were following traditions that were away from the Lord. And so their whole livelihood, the whole thing about their being was empty, void, and worthless. And so in these first four or five verses, the Lord puts them on the spot and says, what did I do wrong? What have I did that was wrong to you that would make you turn your back? Now, beginning in verse number 6, the prophet here notes some additions to the people's overall unthankfulness, their desire to be their own people. In verse number 6 says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts, pits, the land of drought, the shadow of death? They didn't even recognize that God had done anything for them. It started with deliverance from Egyptian bondage, and simply stated, it ends up in being in bondage to sin. So they left one bondage to go to another bondage. And in between those two areas, God blessed them bountifully. God led them out by miraculous deliverance. God gave them manna from heaven. He gave them water out of a rock. He supplied every need that they had. The scripture says that the shoes on their feet did not wax old. And so God protected them in the wilderness those 40 years. And those 40 years of survival were simply by the hand of God. But they didn't even recognize that it was the Lord. They didn't even recognize that God had blessed them in so many ways. I dare say this morning that many people in our country do not recognize the blessings of God. Oh, we'll call it a coincidence, or we'll call it just a happening. But many times what we have in our nation is because God has protected us. The things that the Lord gives to us, that it goes unnoticed. It goes unbeknownst to people that it is the Lord working, and it is the Lord's hand upon His people. And so the Lord miraculously protected them. He provided for them, and it's estimated that about 2 million people left out of Egypt, and so that was no small matter. That was no small thing that to be protected and to be fed and to be watered. Can you imagine Moses being the leader, and Moses and Aaron, and how are we going to feed this people? Well, God sent them manna from heaven. How are we going to give water? Well, they go to a land, we read about that, they call Mara. The water was bitter and the water was unusable. And God gives them sweet water out of that. Later on, God gives them water out of the rock. But when they get to the promised land and they get prosperous in the good things of the Lord, they forget where they came from. They forget what blessings the Lord had given to them. That's why so many times we'll hear people say, we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember where we were when God found us. I'll tell you where we were when the Lord found us. We was in the land of Egypt, spiritually speaking. We was in the land of bondage. Satan had control over us, and sin had bound us down, and we were not able to do everything that even Satan and sin would desire for us to do, but the Lord delivered us out of that bondage and gave us life eternal. And so many times when we get over here on the good side of life and the blessings of the Lord and the prosperity that God gives, we forget where we were. We forget what condition we were in. Our minds are real short in remembering those things. And so here the land that God had promised to Abraham centuries before, now they are possessing that. That has been the desire of Israel from the time of Abraham. Abraham said, I'll give you a land. Here's your land. All you got to do is possess it. And that was a continual struggle in the mind and the heart and the history of Israel. We want that land. And when they got there, they forgot the Lord. That didn't happen immediately. What's taking place in our country now is not happening immediately. It's been a process of a number of years that we're turning our back away from the Lord. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a week or two. But in the process of time, we train our next generation that it's really not the Lord. And before long, there arises a generation what? That knows not God. Amen. We have a generation that doesn't know anything about the Lord. We have a generation of people that have no idea of the history of days gone by. And so God sent Israel, or God sent Judah, a prophet to remind them, this is where you came from. This is where you are. And this is what's going to happen if you don't turn back. And so God had come to them through many prophets. And some of those prophets we'll find later were even slaughtered and killed because of their message. And so this land that God had promised Abraham centuries before now has been theirs for hundreds of years. And over that period of time of hundreds of years, they have forgotten their Maker, the marvelous benefits of the Lord. Instead of gratitude, they turn to idolatry. Instead of praying to the Lord, they began to have their idols. They did like the land of Canaan. They did like the Canaanites and the Moabites. They wanted to have their own little idea of what had helped them. And so instead of trusting and instead of talking about the benefits of God, and instead of gratitude, they turned to idols and ill use of the land. We'll read about groves and high places in the Old Testament. And those are references to places of idol worship. If it was a high place or a hill, and they'd have a grove there, that was probably where they did their worship of some of the main idols of the Canaanite people. And God says, you have forgotten where you came from. You've forgotten all the benefits. And so God now brings judgment, and he brings a direction upon them, and that judgment is directed toward the leaders. Now, not all people were against God, but the leadership was against the things of the Lord. Whether they be national political leaders, or whether they be religious leaders, whether they be priests, we read about those, they didn't know God. And so if your religious leaders don't know God, how in the world are people going to know about the Lord? See, God's plan's always been the same. We're living in the New Testament era. We're living in the church age. But God still has the same plan. And we're to take what we know and we're to teach it to those that would be able to learn and know where God found us, how God saved us, and give them the truth where they can do the same thing. But if religious leaders, I use that word very loosely, if those leaders of our nation do not tell the truth of God's word, there's a generation of people out there that doesn't know God. And just a few generations down the road, they'll not even consider God. And I believe this is where Israel had gotten to. They'd gotten to the point they had a name as the people of God, but they didn't even know God. They didn't have any respect for God. These verses, verse number 7, he says, I brought you to a plentiful land. He said, this is my heritage, and you've made an abomination. Verse number 8, here Jeremiah brings the message to the real people that needed the message that would help the whole land. The priest said not. Now the priest are the religious leaders. They said, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. They didn't say anything about God, so nobody knew about God. If we don't tell our children and our grandchildren, if we don't tell the generation to come about God, the next generation certainly will not know anything about the blessings of the Lord. He says here in verse number 8, he says, the pastors also transgressed against me. The word pastor there has the translation of it. It has a connotation toward the political leaders, those that were overseers. And that's what a pastor is. He's an overseer. That term means to look over. And so those that were looking over the people of Israel, they transgressed against the Lord. So what is left? He says here in verse number 8, and the prophets, they prophesied, but notice what they prophesied by. They prophesied by Baal, that system of worship. Now, there was a god called Baal, but Baal worship involved a number of different idols that were very prominent in that area and that land. And so they prophesied by Baal, and they walked after the things that do not profit. So here you have the priest, here you have the pastors, and here you have the prophets. And every one of them are not doing their job. The priests, the Levites, that tribe of Levi is that tribe that was to had been directed to take care of all the worship of the land of Israel. The tribe of Levi was that one that had the priests and the high priests that would go in the tabernacle, and they would go in and they'd offer the blood sacrifices to represent the blood that would be shed for their sin. But they forgot that. They denied and rejected doing that. And so he says here, the priest, they don't even talk about the Lord. You know, there's a lot of, it's interesting sometimes to watch TV of high religion. They don't even talk about God. They talk about their traditions. They talk about the things they've done. But they have very little talk toward God and less about Jesus Christ. And so we find here the priests, they were not doing their job. The overseers, the pastors, they transgressed. And the prophets, they prophesied wrong. What is the hope of Judah then? Nobody is telling truth. Nobody is revealing righteousness. Nobody is remembering God. And the prophets are prophesying by Baal, or that system that is so anti-God. And so in the time of Jeremiah's ministry, all these different groups have given themselves over and they've forgotten God. And the end result of that is what? It's not just the high. It's not just the high priest. It's not just the priest. It's not just the overseers. It's not just the prophets. The end result of that is the people have no idea. They don't know God. They've never been taught. And so Jeremiah comes on the scene, and he's not a popular prophet. I don't think I've ever read anybody that has written a commentary on the book of Jeremiah that says, I would like to be like Jeremiah. It's not a very good thing to be like, not a very easy thing to be like Jeremiah. He had a message that the people did not want to hear. He had a message that God was going to judge them, and they stopped their ears to it. He had a message that God is going to bring to destruction, and there's going to be another nation. He even tells what nation it is. There's a nation going to overrule you and overthrow you, and you're going to be once again in bondage because of your rejection of Jehovah God. Well, the people that had never heard about God, they didn't want to hear that. The prophets and the priests and the pastors that were not doing their job and were faltering at the task of telling people, they didn't want to hear that they had failed. And so Jeremiah was not, he wasn't winning friends and influencing people too well. Jeremiah wouldn't have been the man of the year. He wouldn't have been on Time magazine cover. He would not be winning the Pulitzer Prize and all those things that the world puts recognition on people for great things. Jeremiah, but he was a faithful man of God. And he had the blessings of the Lord upon him. And Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, said, I'll be with you. I'll protect you. I'll help you. Jeremiah was thrown in a pit and left for dead. Jeremiah had his beard plucked. Jeremiah had chains and bondage. He was hated because of his message. And so we find here that when Jeremiah begins this first message to them, he didn't make a whole lot of friends first message he gave to Judah. You know, sometimes we want first impressions to be good. His first impression wasn't too good. And they hated him because of that. Instead of speaking for God, the prophets were speaking through Baal. And he says, you're in trouble. Look at verse number 9. We'll read down a few verses. Wherefore, here's the result of what they did. God speaking says, wherefore, I will yet plead with you, said the Lord, with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and see unto Kindred, and consider diligently, and see if there be any such thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. What Jeremiah is saying here, he says, you look at all the heathen nations of the world. He lists some names here that we read. He says, have they changed their gods? And they're not even gods. They're just idols. Have they switched from one idol to another? No, they have their national god. That's who they bow to. And he said, but my people, they've changed. They've changed their glory. They've changed those things that God had given to them. And he says, hath a nation changed their gods, verse 11, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. That's two times the Lord has told them they're doing things that does not profit. Verse number 11, and verse number 8. They're doing those things, they prophesy after Baal, and they walk after the things that do not profit. The prophet of Judah, the advancement of Judah is over because they've done the unthinkable. They've changed even what the heathen do not do. They've changed their admonition. They've changed their loyalty. And it's no longer toward God, but they're like everybody else. Verse 9 here, the prophet takes up the issue of the nation of Judah, this long-term disobedience. The word plead here means like bringing a suit against. God said, I'm going to bring suit against you. I'm going to plead my case against you. And God says, you're going to falter. You're going to fail. It's going to be over. The effects of Judah's sin was appalling to the Lord. Look at verse number 12. Be astonished. God says, I'm going to plead my case against you, and you're going to be there, and you're praying to other gods, and you've done the unthinkable that even the heathen do not do. And he says, so be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very desolate, saith the Lord. There's three things here that God tells them. Number one, be astonished. Even the heavens consider obeying God. Nature obeys the laws of God. Man rebels against the law of God. And so Jeremiah says, just look at nature. The heavens are astonished at what you do. The heavens are surprised at how you go against the message of the Lord. So he says, first of all, be astonished. Then the second thing here in this verse, he says to be horribly afraid. It means to shiver with dread. It means to have horror in your heart. So be horribly afraid, be astonished, and then it says, thirdly, be very desolate. That means you're ruined. So here we find God's judgment upon his people. And he tells them what they've done. He says in verse 11, the heathen don't do it. And verse number 12, you're going to be shocked at the judgment of the Lord. And verse 13, he tells them why. He says, here's your problem. For my people have committed two evils. Interesting. They did a lot more than just two things, but it all comes into these two categories. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountains of living water. And the second thing, they hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, water is a life support. Without water for a few days, we're done. We're dead. And God says, you have forsaken living water. You're forsaken those living waters that flow to you. A flowing stream that provides nourishment and provides greenery and provides life. He says, you have rejected that, the fountain. The word fountain there means flowing. The springs of living water. You have forgotten those. You've rejected those. And you've gone out and you've dug you a hole in the ground where you catch water and it sits there stagnant. And after a while, the cistern breaks and the water's gone. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a fountain of water than a hole full of dead water. They began, those cisterns began to have a stink about them because of the not being able to flow. And so we find that God says, here's your problem, Israel. Here's your problem, Judah. I've given you living water. You said, I don't want that. I'm going to go take care of my own self. I'm going to dig my cistern, and I'm going to hold my own water. And God says, they're broken cisterns. Before long, they're dry. Before long, they're empty. And they become very, very desolate. The problem with Judah was their intense desire to turn away from God. They refused to hear. They refused to follow. They refused the flowing, clear water, which was a great source of refreshment, and they dug a hole in the ground and said, I'll do my own thing. Sounds like America. We reject the good things of God. We'll do it our way. We'll do it the way we want to do it. We'll change it around and it'll be okay. And so these broken cisterns, before long the water was gone. There was no spiritual life left in Judah. And they were left to themselves. And that broken cistern represented the lack of any life due to what God could do. Cisterns that were dug are the works of the hands of man. Rivers and springs that flow freely is a direct act of a creative God. Big difference, big task before us to understand the differences. And so before long, they're going to go into bondage because they've rejected the Lord. Two things. It all had to do with life-giving water. Flowing water or still water. Fresh water or stagnant water. Which one would be best? And a pool filled with water, replacing itself constantly, or a cistern that was just water stagnant, and before long all evaporated away, cracks in the walls, and the water's gone. And so Jeremiah says, here's your problem. This is what you've forsaken, and this is the word of the Lord. He says, my people have committed those two evils. Verse number 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homebound slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roar upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of North and Tahalaphaz have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? Is that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do with the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Shihor? To what hast thou to do with the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness, God says, thine own wickedness corrupt thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter, and thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. God says, your problem is you're doing things your own way. Now Israel becomes a servant again. Israel goes back into servitude. They go back into bondage. He talks about the children of North and the other city. Those are cities of Egypt that they depend upon and were not able to give them what was needed in their life. And so their allies on which Judah depended, these Egyptian cities, are nothing. And the river there that's spoken of is the river Euphrates and the river Nile. Those things were very important in that land, and they're still very important today, those two rivers. And it's life-giving. God says you can't depend upon Egypt. And you cannot depend upon the waters of Shihor. You cannot depend upon the river. You can't depend upon somebody. You've got to depend upon God. And he says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy own wickedness is going to show you where you came from and what you did. Your wickedness will reveal to you that there's a collapse that is coming and going to reprove you. And there's no fear of God in them. And the Lord says, I have spoken. In verse number 20, Judah just continues on. Here Jeremiah says, for of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. And thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under green tree, thou wondrous playing the harlot. God said, I'd bring judgment, and you'd say, I'm going to do all right. And then you'd go back to your groves, you'd go back to your high hills, you'd go back to your evergreens. Those were places where they had their idols. And here Isaiah says, you play the harlot. You're not faithful to God. Those are strong words given to a nation that doesn't even believe in God. Those are words that would fall upon the deaf ears of people that have never heard the message of the Lord like that again. Here we find that in verse number 20 says you've been broken. It just simply means to be shattered into pieces. Judah, it's over. Really, it's what God said. There's no more mercy. You've been shattered. You're broken. He tells them here that they the burst means to be ripped apart. God said there's a judgment coming that's going to shatter you, going to rip you apart from everything that you've ever had in your history. And when Babylon came and when Nebuchadnezzar came and his armies came into Jerusalem, they ravaged everything that was there. There was nothing left, not even the gold and silver vessels that they used to drink during their worship ceremonies and during their sacrifices. Nebuchadnezzar carried them all the way there into Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 5, we see Belshazzar having his party. And the Bible says he drank wine out of the vessels that came out of the house of God. Judah was ripped apart. Judah was burst open. Judah was destroyed because of their sin. And God says, you will be a servant once again. Verse number 21 says, yet have I planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. Now then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me. God says, I gave you the best vine, and now you're a strange vine. Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah has the same message. Message chapter 5 of Isaiah says, God said, I planted in my vineyard the choicest of vine. And he said, I looked that they might bring forth grapes, and they brought forth what? Bitter grapes. And that's what Jeremiah says here in a different way. He said, I've planted a noble vine, and how then art thou turned into a degenerate plant? Strong word. How have you degenerated to the point of being worthless, being helpless, being ashamed, being ripped apart? He says in verse number 22, so for though thou wash thee with nitrate and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. God says, you can clean up the outside, okay. You can take your soap, and you can take that. The word nitre means like a soda. And you can scrub yourself, and you can make yourself spotless on the outside. But God says, I know your heart, and it has not changed. God brings a scathing judgment upon them because of their rejection of the water of life, because of the rejection of the mercy of the Lord. He describes them there as a people that were filthy. Verse number 23, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know that thou hast what thou hast done. Thou art swift, dromedary, traversing her ways. God says, how can you say you're not dirty? How can you say you're not polluted? He says in verse number 24, he says, the wild ass used in the wilderness that puffeth up at the wind at her pleasure is her occasion. Who can come her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves in her mouth. They shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being yushod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. God says, you're just going after strange gods, strange people. And he says here, you're playing the harlot, doing everything against the things of God. Verse 28. But where are thy gods that made thee? Let them arise, if they can, save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities and thy gods, O Judah. God says, you want to serve your gods? Let them deliver you. You want to serve Baal? You want to serve all those idolatrous gods of the Canaanite people? God said, did they create you? If they did, let them take care of you. Where are they when trouble comes? You know, it's an interesting thing today. We live in a society that hates God until there's a tragedy and now everybody wants to call on God. Churches are not effective unless they're needed to have counsel session from somewhere that's been shot up. You don't want churches in schools until everybody's dead and struggle come. Now open your churches so we can have some kind of counsel. That's exactly what the Lord says here. Where's your God? Let them deliver you. Let them take care of you. You say they're what you desire. You say they created you. Let them protect you. Where are thy gods? Verse 29, wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain I have smitten your children. God said, it hasn't done any good. I've judged you and it has not done any good. In vain I have smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. God said, I sent you correction, I sent you prophets, and you killed the prophets. You killed those that had the message. And if they could have killed Jeremiah, they'd have killed him because they hated the message that he had. Verse 31, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore my people, we my lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Can a maid, can a young lady forget her ornaments or her jewelry? Can a bride forget her the way she is dressed? He uses the words here. I've lost it. Verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? I guarantee you, every lady in here know exactly what you wore the day you got married. You don't forget that attire. But God says, you've forgotten me. You've forgotten what I've done for you. You've forgotten me days without number. Verse number 37. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thy hands upon thy head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Pretty strong first message. If you're a prophet of God in Israel and this is your first message, you've already dug yourself a hole. Because the message is not what the people, the prophets, the priests, the pastors, they didn't want to hear it. Because the message is against them. It all lay at the foot of those of leadership. The scripture says, but the Bible tells us that when righteousness is in control, people prosper. When unrighteousness or ungodliness, then we suffer. And so leadership is important in every aspect of life. Nation, home, church, wherever it is, leadership is so very, very important. And God brings it right to the foot of the leaders of Israel. And he said, you have rejected me. You've dug your own cisterns. They're no good. And now you pay. Oh, you got your gods? Go to them. See if they can help. And of course we know they did not. Father, bless your word this morning as we have read this second chapter. Thank you for the understanding that Lord, if it could happen to your people Israel, it could happen to any other people of this world. May we as a country never feel like that we are beyond the judgment of God. May we as a people not live in the past and think about all the good things you've done for us. And the reason you've done good things for us is because we served you and we honored you. But when that begins to falter, that begins to fail, the only thing left is the judgment of the Lord. Help us, dear God, to look to you and to understand that you are our God. We have no other. Without you, we have nothing. And bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.